Good morning, and welcome in to another edition of Mornings for the Master, heard right here on the Gospel Radio Network each weekday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Mornings for the Master has a different host each day of the week and a different course of study. My name is Chris McElyea. I am your host every Thursday here on Mornings for the Master, and in our Thursday studies at this time, we are studying the book of John. And today we are in chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at verses 37 through 47 here in just a few minutes. So I hope you'll stick around with me and spend this time in God's Word as we get our day moving in the right direction. Mornings for the Master, as well as the Gospel Radio Network, are under the oversight of the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, located in Mount Vernon, Texas, USA. And Mornings for the Master, in addition to being heard at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, is also heard each evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time in a replay. These programs are also posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network within a day or two after broadcast, and thus it will stay there for your convenience to go back to hear programs you might have missed or ones you want to look here again for further study. Now, as I mentioned, here on our Thursday program, we are studying the book of John, and today we're going to be in chapter 8, as we look at verses 37 through 47. And so as we consider Abraham's seed and Satan's. Let's go to our text now. John 8, beginning in verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God. Jesus has set forward to the crowd who are actually true disciples. Though people are believing in him, Jesus is clearly trying to show here who are true disciples. In chapter 8, in verse 31, John declared that those who live in his words are truly his disciples. Only they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Telling them that they need to be set free from sin has stunned them. They looked at their own righteousness, and they took security in their own lineage to Abraham. They believed that they were free from sin. However, only the Son, Jesus Christ, can set people free from the bondage and slavery of sin. Jesus must expose the problem in their hearts. Jesus is going to make another attempt to explain who are the true disciples and who is truly in a relationship with God the Father. So let's begin by looking at the Son, the true Son. Verse 37, Jesus said, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." So Jesus voids their defense. Yes, it is true that they are the children of Abraham in a physical lineage. It is true that they can certainly trace their family roots all the way back to Abraham. But here is the problem, Jesus points out. You are trying to kill me. Now, this thought goes back also into chapter 7. And notice verse 19 there, when Jesus questions them as to why they want to kill him for healing the paralytic on the Sabbath day. Chapter 7 and verse 19. "Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" He's questioning, how are you the offspring of Abraham? How are you heirs of the promise? And how are you in a covenant relationship with the Father God when you are trying to kill the Son of God? Jesus is saying, how can you be Abraham's offspring when the words of the Son of God have no place within their hearts? The words of the Son of God does not reside in their hearts. They are not abiding in him, and he is not abiding in them. They are not living on his words. It is not possible for them to be God's chosen people when there is no place within them for his words. Jesus continues to drive this point home even further in verse 38 by declaring that he has seen the Father. There, verse 38 says, I speak what I have seen with my Father. And you do what you have seen with your Father. Once again, Jesus is pressing the fact that he is divine and that he is the Son of God. Jesus is not speaking what he has heard from the Father like they do. He is speaking from what he has seen with the Father, his Father. It is very important for us to remember to consider if the words of Jesus are truly abiding in our hearts, or have we left no room for them at all? Do we truly listen to Jesus, or do we simply ignore or reject his words? Perhaps you are not hearing him because you do not open his words to hear what he says. Perhaps you are reading his words but making no application from it. The Jews had a physical lineage to Abraham. But where was their spiritual lineage? Jesus is pointing out to them that their spiritual heritage is not linked to Abraham. Look at verse 38 again. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. So not only is there a contrast between Jesus speaking what he has seen with the Father and what they have heard from the Father, but it is also a contrast of fathers. Now, the translators of the Bible are right to make the second father in verse 38 a lowercase f. Jesus declares that he belongs to his Father, capital F, which is God, deity. They belong to their Father, who is not God, who is not deity, and thus correctly translated with the small f. So now, we recognize the true Son. And now let's consider, Jesus also spoke of their spiritual ancestry. What about the spiritual family? Let's continue. Verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. It is quite obvious that the words of Jesus highly upset his Jewish audience. They immediately rose up and replied that Abraham is their father with great pride. In essence, they were saying to Jesus, "Don't tell us that we do not have a relationship with God. Abraham is our father." But listen to the immediate response of Jesus right back to them. "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did." So, Jesus has given us the ideal of what our spiritual family is. If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. If someone is your father, then you do the same things that your father does. We understand this. We see this in our family relationships. Think of some of the cliches we often hear. Speaking of a son, he's a chip off the old block. Or, like father, like son. Or, the acorn does not fall far from the tree. We hear these things often. Children emulate their parents. Jesus says to them that if they were Abraham's children, then they would be doing the works of Abraham. However, they are not acting like Abraham, because they are trying to kill Jesus. Look at verse 40. "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." Jesus says to them that he has come to them declaring the truth. He's given them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and yet their desire is to kill him. Abraham certainly did not go around trying to kill people that had been sent by the Father who was telling him the truth. Abraham was receptive to divine revelation. And when Abraham received it, he acted in obedience in response to it. But the Jews of Jesus' day are not acting like Abraham at all. Instead, they are following a different father. Their father is not Abraham, and their father is certainly not God the Father. But how do we know if we're a child of God or a child of Satan? How do we know to whom we belong? There is a simple way to know that we are children of God. Act like your father. Jesus Christ has been appointed to be our role model, so we know what it looks like to act like our father. Because Jesus perfectly kept the Father's will. He is the perfect example. If you want to be God's, act like Jesus. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Of course, the people do not respond very well to what Jesus says here. Instead, they begin to sink into the realm of personal attack. They say they were not born of fornication or sexual immorality. Of course, the implication there was to lower and denigrate Jesus. They would not accept that he was the Son of God. And if that be the case, then he had to be born of sexual immorality. For the marriage of Joseph and Mary was not complete at that time. This was the general attitude about Jesus among these folks. How can you lecture us when you're the product of fornication in their mind? Yet they claim the Father God himself to be their true Father. And so now we want to consider that if God were your Father, what are the tests of true discipleship? Let's pick up in verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." Jesus puts forward now 5 proofs for you to know if God is truly your Father. These are proofs that will show if we're a true disciple or not. Number 1 comes in verse 42. "If God were your Father, you will love Jesus." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." What an absolutely critical test for us to consider. Do I really love Jesus? That is something in our congregation that we are really trying to emphasize in our Bible classes with our children. We have themed our children's educational classes growing to love Jesus. Rather than just knowledge, we're trying to teach them to learn to love Him. And then the other things will come more naturally. Do you love Jesus above all else? There are many things that we love in life. I love oatmeal raisin cookies. I could eat them all day. I love to eat pizza. I love to watch baseball. Even more so, I love my children. I love my wife. Think about each of these thoughts. Brings up in us a degree of emotions, strong feelings, urgency, desire. But do you love Jesus even more than all of these? Are you growing to love Jesus more every day? The fact that I love pizza and baseball and my children means that they hold a place in my heart to some degree, and I want to spend time in those things. In fact, when given the choice, these are the things that I enjoy in life. So do we love Jesus? Does Jesus hold the most important place in your life? Does Jesus mean everything to you? Do you desire to spend time with Jesus? Are you one of those that say you want to be with Jesus and spend time with Him, but never open the Word outside of the assembly? Is Jesus someone that you enjoy in your life? You see, if God is your Father, you will love Jesus. Second, he points out that if God were your Father, you will understand the will of God. Look at verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Children, understand the will of the parent. Parents, communicate their will, and the children must understand that will in order to be in favor with the family and to receive the family's blessings. If God is your Father, then you will care to know and understand what He is saying to you. The reason these people did not understand is because they did not have spiritual ears. They were dull in their hearing, and their hearts were darkened. Therefore, they failed to understand God's desire. This is the joy of Bible study. It is our opportunity to learn the will of the Father. If God is our Father, we will want to understand what He has to say to us. We will not pass off His words. We will let His words penetrate our minds and our hearts in such a way so as that we may learn from the Father. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. If God is your Father, you will desire to learn more and understand more about Him. Third test for us to consider is that if God were your Father, your will would be to do as the Father desires. Verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Your words, your deeds, and your actions show to whom you belong. Jesus tells these people that their father is the devil, and that their will is to do their father's desires. In particular, the devil wants nothing to do with the truth, and neither do these people. Let's for a moment consider the meaning of this to our lives. Jesus says, I know who your Father is, because your desires match the desires of your Father. Now ask yourself the question, is my will God's will, or do I have another Father? Is your will a will to figure out a way to get God's will to be our will? This is an interesting pursuit that man undertakes. You see, the general course of man today that wants to claim God is that, however, most are looking for ways for God to approve what they're doing. Just consider the division of the religious world around us. Often inspired by the desire to make God approve something that we want to do. Man tries to read the words of God and then manipulate God's will so that His will become our will. You can certainly see that in this prosperity gospel preachers. But that is not the direction of conformity. We must change our will to become God's will. God's will does not change. We are not going to be like the lawyer that confronted Jesus and was trying to justify himself once the law of God was declared. Remember Luke chapter 10 and verse 29? But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" We can know who our Father is by looking at how we approach God. Do we desire the will of the Father? Or do we desire to make God's will be our will? If we are following our own will, then the devil is our father. We are obeying his desire, for his desire is to get us to disregard the will of the Father. Jesus proves that his Father is God. And the way he does this is because he always does what is pleasing to his Father. Consider verse 29. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. For I always do those things that please him. And next, as a test, we see that if God were your Father, you will believe the truth. Verse 45, but because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Not believing the truth shows that we belong to the wrong family. We have the wrong family when the truth is rejected. When God is not our true Father, then we are left in darkness and ignorance. We cannot know the truth unless we have the right Father. The problem is that we delude ourselves concerning our sins. Notice that Jesus says that the root of their unbelief is their subjection to and belief of the lies of Satan. The truth of Jesus cannot affect us when we are wrapped in the lies of darkness. Jesus pushes us further. Jesus pushed them further, challenging the people to explain why else they would not believe him. They could not convict him of sin. There is nothing false in Jesus. There is no lie. So there is no reason not to believe him. Jesus has not lied, and Jesus does not lie. Therefore, we should and must believe him. What an incredible statement to proclaim in the midst of Jerusalem. You cannot convict me of sin. If there was any way for them to lay a charge at Jesus' feet, this would have been the moment. This would have been the perfect opportunity to discredit Jesus and send him away as an impostor. But they could not do it. And this becomes core to our faith. We must believe what Jesus is telling us, because Jesus is the only person who has ever spoken only truth. All people have lied, but not Jesus. Jesus is telling you the truth. Will you believe in Him? If God is your Father, then you will believe in Jesus. And then one final test. If God were your Father, you will listen to the words of Jesus. You will hear Him. Remember, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Verse 47, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." Finally, if God is your Father, then you will listen to the words of God. If you belong to God, then you will listen to Him. Again, verse 47, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God." Your deadness shows that you do not belong to God. The dullness of your heart shows you do not belong to God. The lack of responsiveness, the lack of a change in life direction shows one does not belong to God. In our text today, Jesus has clearly shown who are the true disciples and who are not. Listen to these tests that Jesus gives us to be true disciples. Do not use a false measuring stick. It is too dangerous to use a false measurement if you want to be a true follower of God. By attending worship, you are claiming that God is your Father. But Jesus has given us the true test, and the administrator of this test is Jesus. Again, do you love Jesus? Do you desire to know the Father's will? Is your heartfelt desire and longing to do what the Father wants you to do? Do you truly believe the truth that Jesus has given to us? And do you hear and are you responsive to the Word of God? Lessons for us from John chapter 8, verses 37 through 47. I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope that our time together has been encouraging to you. I have certainly been encouraged by your presence. Test yourself as to whether you are a true disciple. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or two. Stay tuned today for all of the programs here on the Gospel Radio Network. And be sure to tune in again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Mornings for the Master, the Friday edition with host Preston McElyea. If the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this same time for another Thursday edition of Mornings for the Master. So till we meet again, this is Chris saying God bless, and I hope you have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time.